Welcome back, and some of you are still at home, including me. I'm not in the Israel Center today, again, for various reasons I'd rather not discuss right now. But I hope that Be'ezras Hashem, even though some are at home and in the office and some are in the Israel Center, we're gradually transitioning back to a type of normalcy, or at least what they call the new normal. And Be'ezras Hashem, it should be a progression in good health and in serenity of spirit. I hope, again, everyone had a wonderful, joyous, and inspiring Yom Tov. And Be'ezras Hashem, in the month of Nisan, Chazal tell us, "B'Nisan Nigalu, Nisan Asid in the Goyal." We were redeemed in the month of Nisan, and Nisan will be the month of Geula. It is said that when Rosh Chodesh Iyar began, which will be in a few days, Rav Moshe Feinstein was always very, very sad because he said, Nisan was the optimal Zman for Geula. And when that time passes, we no longer are in that optimal Zman. So Be'ezras Hashem, we still have a few days, and may we be zeicha to experience the Geula Shlema. What I want to talk about today is really a little bit of an aftermath of Pesach. And I think some of this we did touch upon over the years, but I don't think that recently. So it may deserve a revisiting. And that is the issue of Hallel on Yom Tov. We know that there's a mitzvah to recite Hallel for Chagim. And according to most Rishonim, the mitzvah of reciting Hallel, some special praise for Hashem, is midrabanan. It is not a Torah requirement. Obviously, David HaMelech's words were not in the Torah. The Baal Hilchos Gedolos, the Bahag, actually says that some type of Hallel recitation is a Doraisa commandment, although the particular Nusach is obviously something that came later. But generally speaking, we consider the recitation of Hallel to be a Chiyuv midrabanan. I'm sorry, there is no, I just got a message, there is no sound. I don't know if you'll hear me. Is the sound okay? Just please.
My sound is fine.
I can hear you.
I have sound.
My sound is fine.
All right, so somebody doesn't have sound, so I guess the problem is on their end.
Which one of the many A's? There are six participants. I'm one of them listed as A. So who doesn't have sound?
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. Very good. I don't know why we have a lot of A's today, but okay. The Seder. People want anonymity of the crowd.
I have sound.
Huh?
I'm one of the A's and I have sound.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So I think we are okay. I guess I hope the person who doesn't have sound will be able to get it. Now we know that there are some days in which we recite a whole Hallel and some days that we recite a partial Hallel.
Someone else.
It's often called a half Hallel, but the truth is it's more than half. It's closer to a two-thirds Hallel. And again, let's go over it. During the 7 days of Sukkos, plus Shemini Atzeres, and in the Gola, even Simchas Torah, we recite a full Hallel for 8 or 9 days. Then for Chanukah, we recite a full Hallel for 8 days. Then for Pesach, we only recite a whole Hallel on the Yom Tov, the first day of Yom Tov, or in the Gola, the second day of Yom Tov, but for Chol HaMoed and even the last day of Pesach, which is a Chag, we only do a half Hallel. For Shavuos, we recite a whole Hallel, so in the Gola, that'll be 2 days. And of course, for Rosh Chodesh, we only recite a half Hallel. Now, in reality, at least with respect to Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara explains why we only recite a truncated Hallel, because Hallel on Rosh Chodesh did not start off as a chiyuv. Hallel on Rosh Chodesh started off as a minhag that people wanted to say Hallel. And because it's a minhag to show and differentiate it from the status of the Hallel of chiyuv, we only recite a half Hallel, a truncated Hallel. Now indeed, there's a big, big machlokas rishayim. If the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag and it's not a chiyuv and is obligatory today only because minhagim eventually become chiyuvim, do you recite a bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh? There are Rishonim that actually say there is no bracha that is recited on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. Others have a minhag, and this is the minhag of Brisk, that only the Chazan recites a bracha, both before and after, and everybody answers Amen, but individuals do not. The prevailing minhag, at least among Ashkenazim, is that even though it's a minhag, once the minhag has become so established that it becomes a chiyuv, we can even make a bracha on the Hallel of minhag, and that's why even if you're davening biyachidus, lemaisa paskin, you make a bracha. But again, not everybody does that. There are people that follow the shita that says only the chazan makes the bracha on Rosh Chodesh. Now, the question becomes, though, when it comes to the Shalosh Regalim, so for the 8 days of Sukkot, you know, Shmini Atzeres, and even Simchas Torah, we recite a complete Hallel. And when it comes to Shavuos, we recite a complete Hallel. Why by Pesach is there only Hallel on the first day, or in the Golah, the first 2 days, and the rest of Hallel, the rest of the Yom Tov, we only recite a half Hallel? So there's a very famous reason that I'm sure you've heard of, and this is brought by the Shibale Leket. Shibale Leket was one of the Rishonim who lived in Italy. And the Shibale Leket brings it in the name of a medrash that's called Medrash Harninu. And we actually don't have this medrash, so we only know it from the Shibale Leket, that since the last day of Pesach commemorates the splitting of the Red Sea, in which many, many Egyptians died. And the Medrash tells us that the Malachi Hashareis wanted to praise Hashem as the Egyptians were dying. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachi Hashareis, Maise Yadai Tavu Bayom, the Egyptians are also my creations, and they are drowning and suffering in the sea. The Atem Omrim Shira. And this is a time when you want to celebrate and say song. That's why when the Pasuk says in Bishalach, Loi Karav Ze El Ze Kol Halayla, they did not go next to each other the whole night. So the pashtus of the Pasuk is the Egyptians were not able to meet up with the Jews because there was a cloud of darkness that was blocking them. But the Medrash connects V'loi Karav Ze El Ze Kol Halayla to the Pasuk of the Kedusha of the Malachim, V'kara Ze El Ze V'yomar, right? That's how the Navi Yeshayo describes the Malachim calling out to each other. So Loi Karav means they weren't able to connect and say Shira because Maise Yadai Tavu Bayam V'yatem Omrim Shira. So says the Shibale Leket, the same way the Malachim were not permitted to say Shira because the Egyptians were drowning. So on the seventh day of Pesach, which commemorates the drowning of the Egyptians, we do not say, we say something, we say a partial hallel because after all, there was a great day, but our joy is muted. Our joy is restricted. Our joy is limited to express a certain commiseration, a certain rachmanut, a certain compassion, even for the deaths of the Egyptians. And that is why we say a half halal rather than a whole halal. Now, again, I want you to understand something. The statements that the Malachim wanted to say Shira, and Hashem said no, because of Maise Yadai Tavu Bayam V'atem Omrim Shira, that statement does appear in the Gemara. That does appear in the Gemara. It's Maseches Megillah, and it is a teaching of Rav Yochanan. So Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayom is in the Gemara as a mimer of Rav Yochanan. But it's important to understand that the Gemara never uses that as a reason for half Hallel on the seventh of Pesach. It is only the Medrash Harninu that the Shibale Leket brings that extrapolates from Rav Yochanan's Memra that we should only say a half hallel, that our joy would be muted. So it's very, very important when you think about any halachic development to differentiate between what the Talmudic text says and how the Talmudic text is used by later authorities. The Talmudic text itself says that Maisa Yadai Tavo Biyam Batem Omrim Shira, that the Malachim were disabled from saying Shira. It does not apply that to Am Yisrael at all. It is only the Medrash Harninu and the Shibale Leket that does so. I'll give you another example where, once again, we extrapolate from a Talmudic text way beyond what the text actually says. It's not our subject, but I'll mention it because it is the appropriate time of year. The Talmud mentions that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died in the period between Pesach and Shavuos because they did not show proper honor and respect for each other. And Mimela, they were not worthy of being the Mosrei Torah to the next generation, and therefore they died. Now, all of us know that during the period of Sviras HaOmer, depending on what minhag you have, maybe we'll talk about it another shir, this is, and even though on one level this is a happy time because we're counting towards the giving of the Torah, the holiday of Shavuos, but there are various mourning customs that are associated with the period of Svira. We don't get married, we don't get haircuts, we don't listen to music, etc. And this is to mourn and to commemorate the tragedy of the deaths of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, and in particular, and this is the most important, to resolve in our own lives to rectify the sin that caused their deaths, namely the not showing kavod for each other and therefore striving in our own lives to respect and see the good in others and to grow in achdus and avas Yisrael. Now, a lot of people make the mistake and they say, oh, the Gemara says we mourn during Svira because of the deaths of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Not true. The Gemara records the fact that the students of Rabbi Akiva died during the period between Pesach and Shavuos. And the Gemara records the reason of Lo Nagu Kavod Zebozeh. But the Gemara does not draw any halachic conclusion that you observe mourning during Svira. The earliest source that Svira Saomer is a time of Avelus and a time of mourning is not in the Talmud at all. It is from the Ga'anim. So the Ga'anim use the Talmudic text as a basis for the Minhage Avelus, even though the Talmudic text itself does not use this as a source for Avelus. So my point is that the same process that occurred with respect to the Minhage Avelus that dates from the time of the Gaonim also occur with respect to Hallel, and that is the Talmud does record Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam V'atem Omrim Shira, as Hashem told the Malachim not to say Shira. It does not apply that reasoning to the half hallel. In fact, there's another reason the Gemara gives that I'll get to in a moment, and it's only the Shibale Leket that does so. Now, the truth of the matter is, I know that I'm sure that you've heard the Shibale Leket's reason. And by the way, let me mention an aside that we know that, you know, we just had the Seder. I think I may have mentioned this, and we know what the Seder, the minhag is when we recite the 10 makos, we pour out a drop of wine for each of the 10 makos. And similarly, when we say Datsach Adash B'Achav, which is the abbreviation of the 10 makos, we pour out a drop of wine for each of those three acronyms. And similarly for the Pasuk, Dom V'Esh V'Simros Oshan. Now, many Haggadahs, almost every English-speaking Haggadah or English-written Haggadah will say that the reason why we pour out the wine is also connected to Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam V'Atem Omrim Shira, that since we are talking about the Makos that afflicted the Mitzrayim, so our joy is not complete, so we have to take out some of the wine. Now, if you look in a Haggadah like the Art Scroll or other English Haggadahs, when they give this comment, they will typically say it is from the Abarbanel or from the Avudraham, right? These are our Rishonim. So somebody asked me a few years ago, what is the source of the statements that we pour out the wine to commiserate with the sufferings of Egyptians based on Maise Yodai Tavu Bayom? So I thought, the Abarbanel, Avudraham. Now, I had learned large parts of the Abarbanel's commentary, but I had not read it cover to cover. It's a very voluminous commentary. So I figured it must be in there somewhere. So the person told me he did read every word of the Abarbanel. Again, quite an impressive feat. And he didn't find it. So he asked me, where would I find it? So I thought to myself, well, they also bring the Avudraham. He said, nope, not there. So apparently there was some mistake in terms of sourcing. So I was thinking, who might say such a word? So I thought to myself, well, maybe it's Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who was kind of a modern person, a universalist. Perhaps he would say such a thought that we have to commiserate with all of humanity. And once again, my indefatigable researcher said, not there. So I really was at a loss at some point. I really didn't know what is the source. Again, the Gemara said, the point I want to make is the Gemara does give us the Medrash of Maisa Yodai Tavu Bayam, that is the memra of Rav Yochanan, but it doesn't apply it to this minhag. Now the minhag is recorded. The minhag is recorded all the way back in the Rishayim and the Gaonim, but not this reason. That reason is not given. So where does that reason come from? So actually, I came across an article in the very wonderful journal Chakira. Chakira is a scholarly journal of Torah topics published in Flatbush. In fact, they put the issues online. It's spelled with an H, H-A-K-I-R-A-H. Wonderful, wonderful journal in which a rabbi actually researched where is the makor of this reason that is given for the pouring out of the wine for the Makos. And he actually found the Makor, and the Makor is very late. I was actually somewhat close to Rav Hirsch. It was a 19th century rabbi in Germany, who's not even that well known, in which his grandson, when his grandson published his father's Shelos Utshuvos, so at the end of the Sefer, the grandson wrote various recollections of things he heard from his grandfather. And he recalls hearing this explanation from his grandfather at his grandfather's Seder. Now, he prefaced his comments every time he would say something over from his grandfather in the appendix to his grandfather's book, he prefaced it with Aleph Beis. Now, Aleph Beis simply stands for Amar Binyamin, because the grandson's name was Binyamin. So Amar Binyamin, Shamati, Miskeini, etc. So listen to this. When later commentaries came across this vort and they liked it a lot, they thought Aleph Beis was an abbreviation for either Abarbanel or Avudraham. Mm-hmm. So they quoted it from a secondhand source and they put it in the name of Abarbanel of Avudraham without ever checking. And then what happens is, once one Haggadah says it's from the Abarbanel, then other Haggadahs will simply copy, because often people who put together Svarim do not always go back to an original source. They will simply quote and cite based on the way it's brought down in earlier books, assuming those earlier books are accurate. So the rabbi concluded this mistake spread like wildfire. Every English Haggadah, actually not just English Haggadahs, the Hebrew Haggadahs that say this word, will say it in the name of Abarbanel and Avudraham, mm-hmm. when it's Lo Haya V'Lo Nivra, and it is no later than the 19th century rabbi in Germany who thought of it himself as a Chiddush. So if there's any lesson to this, again, the thought is a beautiful thought. I'm not disparaging the thought at all. But one has to know if any of you are writing a book or writing a sefer, always check the source to the original. Do not rely on quotations from anthologies or other works. If I see in an art scroll, or I see in any, whether even a Hebrew cipher, I see it in the name of somebody, I should go back to the work of the somebody and see if I could find it. I should not rely on a secondary source. This is a very common mistake that is made both in Kodesh literature, in holy literature, and in secular scholarship literature. I mean, this is done a problem in universities that they all the time, in which people do not check quotations or references against an original text. Now, sometimes you can't always do that. Sometimes somebody might quote an oral tradition that they heard from the Chazon Nish. Well, you don't really have a way of checking that, so you have to report that so-and-so records this as an oral tradition, but don't just say the Chazon Nish said, right? So that's an important thing. Okay, but be it as it may, in terms of the wine, the reason that the Rishonim give is not because of Maisa Yad HaTavu Bayam. They give another reason, that you pour out the wine for each makkah with your finger to be merames etzba Elokim hi, that all of the plagues are the finger of God, and the wine represents the destruction. In other words, you're not commiserating with the Egyptians. You're saying they were destroyed by the blood, destroyed by the frogs, destroyed by the Kenim. In other words, you're actually putting the makkah on them through the etzba, and that's a remez of etzba Elokim hi. Now, another thing, going back to Maisa Yad HaTavu Bayam, let me point out that there's actually a very fascinating machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, as to what is the import of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Now again, Rabbi Yochanan's statement is that the Malachi HaShareis wanted to say Shira during the Kriyas Yamsuf, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malachi HaShareis, Maisa Yadai Tavu Biyam, my creatures are drowning. It's not a time for Shira. Who are the creatures that are drowning? The Babylonian Talmud clearly understands that the creatures that are drowning are the Egyptians, and Hashem is expressing rachamim, compassion, and even sadness over the fact that the Egyptians had to be destroyed. That is how we commonly understand that mimer. That's how the Gemara understands that mimer. And obviously, that is how the Shibalei Leket is using the mimer, because that explains why we have a half hallel. But what's interesting is that the Talmud Yerushalmi takes Rav Yochanan's very statement, and interprets it in a 180-degree different way. That the Malachi HaShareis wanted to say Shira as the Jews are passing through the Red Sea. And Hashem says, it's a little too early to say Shira, because the Jewish people are not yet out of the Yam Suf. And the Midas HaDin is Mekatreg, and wants them to drown. In other words, Hashem is not saying, I feel sorry for the Egyptians. Hashem is saying, Klal Yisrael is still in an Eis Sara at that particular time, and therefore saying a Shira is premature, because the Malachi HaShareis were arguing, Manish Tanu Eila Miela, why should you save the Jews and kill the Egyptians? Now, according to that interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan, that was a very ephemeral problem, meaning that was only a problem until the Jews crossed the Yam Suf, and that would have absolutely no relevance at all to saying a half hallel. So there is a machlokas to Bavli in the Yerushalmi. Is Rav Yochanan expressing a compassion for humanity? Is that how he understands it? Or is he expressing a concern for Am Yisrael that is still in a matzav of sakana, right? That's a very, very interesting point. Now, one might speculate that the machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, may connect in some ways as to how they viewed the goyim in their society. In the time of the Babylonian Talmud, the Jews of Babel were ruled by the Sasanian dynasty in Iran. And the Sasanian dynasty was relatively benign. They were relatively tolerant of Jewish observances. They were Zoroastrianism, that was their religion. So they had their Avodah Zarah, but they were not persecuting the Jews. And that is why Torah was able to flourish in Babylonia. In the time of the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael were under Roman rule, and in particular Byzantine rule, and the Roman Empire had already converted to Christianity, and there was extreme persecution against the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm just suggesting, again, this may be totally unfounded, that if you were an Amora living under Byzantine persecution, you would not view the Umos HaOlam with rachamim and compassion. It's like saying, oh, I have compassion for Hitler. He works so hard. You know, yeah, he does some bad stuff, but his day is so long. You know, that's not, I apologize for even making a joke about it. That would not be something that would rationally occur to you. So it could be that the Talmud Yerushalmi, based on their history of oppression and persecution, Bidafka does not interpret Rav Yochanan as a commiseration and compassion for the non-Jewish humanity of oppression. Masha Enkein, a Babylonian Jew, might. So what's interesting, once again, is we have an example where the tradition of Rav Yochanan of Maisa Yadai Tov Ubiyam can actually, which is an old tradition, and both the Eretz Yisrael and Bavel were makabel that tradition, but there was a machlokas how to interpret it. Okay, but be it as it may, let's go back to the Babylonian understanding that this is commiseration for humanity, and the Shibboleth record says that is why it is a half challah. Now, the Taz asks an obvious kasha. The drowning of the Egyptians in the Red Sea occurred on the seventh day of Pesach. So l'chaira, chol hamoed, you should say a whole hallel. In other words, we only say hallel on the first day, and then we immediately go into half hallel mode. But according to the Shibboleth Leket, we should only say half hallel on the seventh day, and chol hamoed should still be a whole hallel. And even though it's chol hamoed, but so what? On Sukkot, you say a whole hallel, even during chol hamoed. So the fact that it's chol hamoed, that does not disqualify you. So the answer that the Taz gives is that we never want to make Chol HaMoed more significant than Yom Tov. And therefore, you kind of work backwards. Since the seventh day of Pesach is a Chag, is a Yom Tov, is a etc. So if you're not going to say a whole Hallel on the Yom Tov day, then you're not going to say a whole Hallel on the Chol HaMoed. Because if you were to say a whole Hallel on Chol HaMoed, what would be happening is when you get to Yom Tov, there would be a Yerida, there would be a decline, and that is not Kavod Yom Tov. Right? So that's how the Taz works with the Shibboleth Leket. But Rav Chaim Soloveitchik asks a very, very strong kasha, and that is, why does the Shibboleth Leket and the Medrash give a reason different than the reason the Gemara itself gives? The Gemara in Erchin, Maseches Erchin, asks exactly this question. Why for the 8 days of Sukkot, that means Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, including Chol HaMoed, we recite a complete Hallel, and for the 7 days of Pesach, we only recite a complete Hallel on day one? The Gemara asks the kasha, and the Gemara does not give the reason, as I said before, of Maisa Yodai Tovu B'Yom. But the Gemara simply asks, why is Pesach different than Sukkot? And the Gemara gives an answer, and the answer is a very interesting answer. The Gemara says Let's look at the musafin, the additional offerings that are brought every day of the Chag. Again, we're not talking about the Korban Pesach. We're talking about the musaf offerings. On Pesach, every single day, the musaf offering is exactly the same. It is two parim, two bulls, one isle, one ram, seven kvasim, seven lambs that are brought as an ola. This is the standard 2-1-7 configuration. This is the same for the first day of Pesach, the second day of Pesach, all the way till the seventh day of Pesach, except Shabbos, obviously, there's a musaf of Shabbos. So the musafin of Pesach are the same every single day. In fact, that's why you'll recall the maftir for the Kriyas HaTorah every single day of Pesach was the same maftir in Parshas Pinchas. V'kravtem isha oila l'ashem, parim b'nei bokar shnayim, ayal echad, shiva kvasim b'nei shana. By contrast, on Sukkot, which anyway has a very unusual number of musafin, 70 bulls, keneged the 70 nations of the world. But the point is, every single day, there's a different number. Remember, it goes in descending order. The first day is 13, the second day is 12, 11, 10, etc. So the musafim are different every single day. Now, why is that important? So the Gemara explains, since Pesach, every single day has the same musaf, that means we regard Pesach as one holiday of 7 days. It's one holiday. So when you said your full hallel on the first day, that covered the holiday of Pesach. Because the second day is the same holiday as the first day. The third day is the same holiday as the second day and the first day. So therefore, you were mekayim your mitzvah. And the saying of it, the rest of Pesach is like Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minhag, and you only say a half hallel. But by Sukkot, since each day has a unique korban, each day is regarded as a different yomtiv. And since each day, including Chol HaMoed, is regarded as a different Yom Tov, each day has its own Chiyuv of Hallel. So Pesach is one holiday. That is why you recite only one full Hallel, and the rest of the days is half, because it's like Rosh Chodesh, only Minhag. Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, every day is a separate holiday, as seen from the differential of the Musafin. This is a Gemara in Maseches Erchin. So Rav Chaim asks Akasha, why does the Shibale Leket need to bring in Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam? Don't we have the Gemara that says there's a chiluk between Sukkot and Pesach because of the Musafin? Why do I need another reason? So Rav Chaim has a very interesting chiddush, a very logical chiddush. He says that I actually need both reasons. I need the Gemara's reason of the chiluk of Musafim, and I need the Shibale Leket's reason of Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam. And the reason that is so is because there are two different mechayvim of the mitzvah of Hallel, meaning to say there are two different factors that can generate a chiyuv of Hallel. And sometimes you have one, and sometimes you have the other, and sometimes you have both. One generator of a chiyuv is chag. When something is a yom tov, the kedusha of the yom tov generates a chiyuv of Hallel, including Chol HaMoed. That is Hallel Mitam Yom Tov. There is a second Mechayev of Hallel, and that is Hallel Mitam Nes Geula or Yeshua. That when there is a miracle or a redemption or a salvation of Am Yisrael, that is Mechayev HaHalel, even when it's not a Yom Tov. So there is Halel that is generated because of Yom Tov, and there is Halel that is generated because of Nes or Geula or Yeshua. Now, let's analyze this. The Halel of Chanukah. Now, Chanukah is not a Yom Tov. Chanukah does not have any malacha restrictions. Chanukah does not have the Kedusha of a Moed. It's not even Chol HaMoed. Yeah, there's a minhag not to do malacha while the candles are burning, but it's not a Zman of malacha, of Kedushas malacha. So the Halel of Chanukah is not Mitam Yom Tov. The Halel of Chanukah is only Mitam Nes, either the Nes of the Neros or the Nes of the Milchama. And it's a time of Yeshua, Geula, from foreign oppression. But the Rambam actually writes that the Halel of Chanukah is not because of the candles even. It's because of the reestablishment of Jewish sovereignty and independence. By the way, that's a very relevant makor for Yom HaTzmaut. So that's Halel Mitam Nes, Yeshua, Geula. Now, conversely, the Halel of Sukkos and Shavuos is because of the holiness of the Yom Tov. Because it is a Yom Tov, we have to have Halel. So Chanukah is only because of Nes. Sukkos and Shavuos are because of the holiness of Yom Tov. Pesach is actually a combination of both. Pesach, someone asked, Rosh Chodesh is not a Yom Tov nor a miracle. Why do we say Halal? Very excellent. That's exactly why the Gemara says it became a minhag and it's not a din. Meaning it was not a din. Rosh Chodesh did not meet the Yom Tov criterion and it did not meet the miracle criterion. So there was no chiyuv Halal. Nevertheless, people wanted to mark it as a quasi Yom Tov. So it became a minute, but that's exactly right. When you don't have the Yom Tov or the miracle aspect, then there is no Halel. And if there is a Halel, it is a minug and not a din. Pesach is both a Halel of Yom Tov and a Halel of Geula, Yeshua, and miracle. Now, says Rav Chaim the following. The Gemara and the Shibalei Leket, both of which are trying to answer the question why we have a half Halel, are addressed on the seventh day of Pesach and even Chol HaMoed, are addressing two different questions. The Gemara's question is from the perspective of Yom Tov. Given the fact that Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres is an eight-day Yom Tov and Pesach is a seven-day Yom Tov, so how come the Yom Tov of Sukkos creates a Chi of Halel for 7 days, plus Shemini Atzeres, which is 8 days, and the Chi of Halel of the Yom Tov of Pesach creates only a Chi of Halel on the first day? So Mitam Yom Tov, the Gemara answers, that Sukkos is conceptualized as eight, I'm including Shemini Atzeres, as eight different Chagim because of the Korbanos, so each Chag generates its own Halel. Pesach, because of the Musafin, which are the same, is only one Chag, so only day one has the Chiyuv of Halel. Now, the Gemara is asking a Kasha Mitam Yom Tov, and it's giving an answer Mitam Yom Tov. Now, here's what Rav Chaim says. Legabe Yom Tov, the Gemara couldn't have raised the question of Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam. Because Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam means you don't thank God for miracles that involve the destruction of the Egyptians, or at least you don't do it fully. But if the Halel is because of the Kedushat HaYom Tov, then Mimela, the seventh day of Pesach, is a Yom Tov. That should be Mechayev. So that's why the Gemara has to say, Mitam Yom Tov, day seven, is not considered a separate Yom Tov because the Musafim are the same. But the Shibalei Leket is saying the following in the name of the Medrash Aninu. even if the seventh day of Pesach is not a distinct Yom Tov. And therefore, mitam Yom Tov, there would not be a chiyuv of a whole Hallel. But the seventh day of Pesach was a great miracle that befell the Jewish people, the splitting of the Red Sea. So let there be Hallel mitam Neis. Yeah, it's not a Yom Tov. It's not a separate Yom Tov. You don't make a Shechiyanu. But Chanukah is not a Yom Tov at all. But you have a Hallel mitam Neis. So mitam Neis, the Medrash answers, Maisa Yadai Tovu Bayom, V'atem Omrim Shira, that's not the Neis that we want to commemorate. So Rav Chaim says, the reason why I need two reasons for the half Hallel is because apples and oranges. The Gemara in Erchin is dealing with Hallel Mitam Yom Tov, and the Shibboleth Leket is dealing with Hallel Mitam Neis. And you need both reasons. Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayom is negating the Hallel Mitam Neis, and the Musafin being the same is negating the Hallel Mitam Yom Tov, and therefore you need both. Now, Rav Chaim's beautiful analysis actually answers two questions. It answers, number one, the Taz's question. If you remember, the Taz asked the question on the Shibboleth Leket, if the reason I don't say a whole Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach is because of Maisa Yadai Tovu Bayom, why don't I say a full Hallel on Chol HaMoed? Right, that was the Taz's kasha on the Shibboleth Leket. And you'll recall, again, to go over this, that the Taz answers, I don't want to make Chol HaMoed more chashuv than Yom Tov on the seventh day. So if I'm not going to say a complete Hallel on the seventh day, I'm not going to do it Chol HaMoed. But according to Rav Chaim, you have a beautiful answer. Chol HaMoed, there is no reason at all for a separate Hallel, in terms of a chi of a whole Hallel, because Hallel mitam Yom Tov is already addressed in the Gemara, because the Musafin are the same, and Hallel mitam Neis doesn't apply at all, because there was no unique Neis of Chol HaMoed. There was only a unique Neis on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. So the Chol HaMoed of Pesach is covered entirely by the Gemara, and we don't need the Shibboleth Leket's reason of Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam, right? So that's, so according to Rav Chaim, we understand B'diyuk why Chol HaMoed Pesach would not have a complete Hallel, because you don't have the Mechayev of Yom Tov because of the Gemara in Erchin, nor do you have the Mechayev of Nes, because there was no unique Nes that occurred on Chol HaMoed. There was Yitzias Mitzrayim on day one, and then there was Kriyas Yom Tov on day seven. In the middle, there were no particular nisim that involved Geula or Yeshua. So Rav Chaim's Mahalech does explain Chol HaMoed Pesach in a very beautiful way. It also possibly may answer another kasha that I think one of the people asked the kasha in the chat. And that is, if I don't want to say a complete Hallel on day seven, because we commiserate with the suffering of the Egyptians, then why do I say a complete Hallel on day one when there was Makas Bechoros, when many, many Egyptians died in the plague of the firstborn? And why doesn't Maisa Yadai apply to the first day as well as the seventh day? Why is Maisa Yadai only considered a problem on day seven and not on day one? But like Rav Chaim, the answer is once again very beautiful. Because Maisa Yadai is an explanation of the type of miracle that we don't say Hallel over. But on day one, the Mechayev of Hallel is the Kedusha of the Chag, of the Yom Tov. So that's going to apply even if it's a Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam. Meaning day one, the Mechayev is Hallel Mitam Yom Tov, Ein Achinami, it may not be Hallel mitam neis. So Rav Chaim's Mahalech does answer both the question of Chol HaMoed and the question of why we recite Hallel on day one, even though many, many Egyptians died. But Lemaisa, on that kasha, there's another answer Rav Chaim gives. It's interesting that he gives a different answer himself, even though his analysis would answer the question, but he himself elsewhere gives a different answer. And that's very, very interesting answer as well. Let me share it with you. And that is, people ask Akasha on the whole Gemara. Rav Yochanan makes the statement that the angels wanted to say Shira. This is in that this much is in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say it by Hallel. The angels wanted to say Shira, but Hashem told the angels, do not say Shira, because Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam. Now the question is, B'nai Yisrael said Shira when they crossed the Red Sea. B'nai Yisrael said, Oz Yashir Moshe. So if the Malachim are not supposed to say Shira, as the Egyptians are drowning, why are B'nai Yisrael allowed to say Shira as the Egyptians are drowning? Oz Yashir Moshe, B'nai, and we say it every single day. So what is the chiluk between the Malachi Hashareis and Klal Yisrael themselves? So the Mefarshim say there is a very big chiluk, and that is the Malachim are not beneficiaries of God's kindness. They are not being redeemed. They are not being saved. Their lives are not in danger. They are simply praising Hashem in the abstract. So Hashem says, don't give me praises when my creatures are drowning. It's not a time of joy. It's not a time of praising me. I am in sadness. But Lagabe Am Yisrael, it's a totally different situation. They are not stam praising Hashem as disinterested observers. They are expressing gratitude for what Hashem did for them. A sheer of direct expression of gratitude, you say, even if other people died in the process. It's like saying, if I was saved from the World Trade Center, right, back in 2001, or I was saved from a war or a terrorist activity, or I was saved from the Holocaust, whatever it is, I must express my gratitude to Hashem, even if there were other people who tragically, or in the case of Nazis, not so tragically, died in the process. So Memela, the chiluk is, the Shiras Tamalachim is Stam Shevach. Shevach is Maisa Yadai Tavu B'yam Batem Omrim Shira. But the Oz Yashar of B'nai Yisrael is Hoda'ah, is gratitude. Now, based on this, Rav Chaim says, we can understand the difference between Hallel of day one and Hallel of day seven. And here is the difference. Hallel of day one is on the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim. With respect to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Haggadah teaches us, Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatsa Mimitzrayim. Each person must regard himself as if they themselves were taken out of Mitzrayim. Now, each person must personally experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. Oh, so Rav Chaim says like this, if each person must personally experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, you can't use the reason of Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam not to say a full Hallel, because the expression of full Hallel is the gratitude for what Hashem did to me. So the same way on day seven, the Jews at the Red Sea could say, Oz Yashir, I, on day one of Pesach, can say Hallel Shalem because Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzah Mitzrayim. But says Rav Chaim, this is a little chiddush actually, it's not so clear, that on day 7, where we commemorate Kriyas Yamsuf, there is no chiyuv to regard myself as if I personally experienced the Yamsuf. I praise Hashem for the miracle, but I don't personally experience it. Memela, this is what Rav Chaim says, on day 1, we're like Bnei Yisrael at the Yamsuf, but on day 7, we are like the Malachim. The Jewish people said Oz Yashir, because they were experiencing the gratitude of redemption, but we are not experiencing that redemption, and therefore we become the disinterested, the observers of Hashem's miracle, and on that we say our halal is not complete because of Maisa Yadai Tavu B'Yam. In other words, Rav Chaim's Hanacha is that the statement in the Haggadah that each person must regard himself as if they themselves were taken out of Mitzrayim only applies to Yitziat Mitzrayim. It does not apply to Kriyas Yamsuf, and that would be his chiluk, that Bnei Yisrael said Oz Yashir at the time because of gratitude, but we are like the Malachim, and therefore it's Maisiyan. Of course, the obvious question with this is, we do say Oz Yashir every day. Why isn't there a taina of Maisiyan that would be on that? Yeah, that's a good question. There are a lot of unanswered questions here, but I just wanted to share with you some of the richness of this idea. Now, again, though, I just want to point out Rav Chaim's statement that the Chayav Adam Lirot Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatsa Mimitzrayim doesn't apply to Kriyas Yamsuf is in fact a machlokas. Some say that because Kriyas Yamsuf is part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Chayav Adam Lirais would indeed be part of it. Again, in other shiurim, in the more inspirational shiurim, and again, as I always tell you, I'm not here to inspire you in any way, but in the more inspirational shiurim, we spoke about what does it mean to regard yourself as if you yourself were taken out of Mitzrayim, and you could go check some of those shiurim. I mentioned from the Baal HaTanya that every person has their own inner Mitzrayim, and that refers to their limitations and their blockages and their constrictions. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each and every one of us a capacity to become freed from all of those things that enslave us, and that includes our gaiva, our arrogance, our ego, our anger, our selfishness, and that's also part of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, they tell a beautiful story. It's really a pre-Pesach story, but I'll tell it now, about a Hasidic Rebbe that was conducting Bedikas Chametz with all of his Talmidim. And they were going through the house very, very thoroughly. And after hours and hours and hours, they were so happy that they didn't find any Chametz. But then the Rebbe started crying. And the Rebbe opened his shirt and he pointed to his heart. And he said, "What do I do about all the chametz that's in here, that's in my heart? What do we do about that, the chametz of the heart?" And the Talmidim told him, "Rebbe, the halacha is very clear. Any place that you don't bring in chametz, you don't have to search. And your heart is a place that doesn't have any chametz. So we're putter from bedikas chametz." Well, that was true with respect to that great tzaddik. I think most of us, or at least I'll mention myself, we have so much chametz that we need to try to search out. And if we were not zeicha to get rid of that chametz before Pesach, the truth of the matter is, even after Pesach, the halacha is, if you didn't search your house for chametz before Pesach, you got to search for it after Pesach, because chametz that you owned during Pesach is usher to eat, usher to have hana, right? So we still have to do a bedikas chametz. Even then. This idea, a final idea I'll mention, that you're chayev to regard yourself as if you yourself were taken out of Mitzrayim, is actually an explanation for a very enigmatic reference in Rav Haigain, that the Ran in Maseches Pesachim brings in the name of the last and really the greatest of the Gaonim, Rav Hai Gain. And that is, in addition to the Hallel that we recite in Shul, we also recite Hallel at the Seder, right? We say Hallel at the Seder. And the question becomes, why don't we recite a bracha on Hallel in the Seder? Why don't I say in the Seder, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvoso V'Tzivanu Likroa Et HaHallel? Right? Why is it not there? So Rav Hai Gain has a very enigmatic formulation. Rav Hai Gain says, you only make the bracha on Hallel when it's a Hallel of Kriya, a Hallel of recitation. You do not recite a bracha when it is the Hallel of song, the Hallel of Shira. And the Hallel of Leil Seder is a Hallel of Shira, not a Hallel of Keria. Therefore, there is no bracha. Now, this is a very enigmatic formulation, because what does it mean, the Hallel of recitation versus the Hallel of song? I mean, you can sing it, but you know, you can sing Hallel all the time, right? What is the conceptual nafkamina between a Hallel of Kriya and a Hallel of Shira? And the Acharonim explain that the Hallel of Kriya is when you commemorate what Hashem did in the past, and that's a chiyuv. There's a chiyuv to thank God for what he did in the past, and that's the mitzvah of Hallel. But Shira is the spontaneous singing of someone that is actually experiencing redemption. The Jews that were taken out of Mitzrayim were not saying Hallel to Hashem because of a mitzvah to say Hallel. They were saying Hallel to Hashem because of the spontaneous outpouring of gratitude that you feel when you are a direct beneficiary of Hashem's chesed. So Rav Hai Gaon saying, because of the chai of Adam lirot es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim, each of us were experiencing actual redemption. So the Hallel was not a mitzvah to thank God for what he did thousands of years ago. It is supposed to be emotionally a spontaneity of gratitude. And for that, there's no bracha, because you're not doing it because it's a mitzvah. You're doing it because you want to say thank you, because you're experiencing it. So once again, that's where the Chai of Adam Liras Es Atzmo comes in. So it both explains the full Hallel, and it explains the absence of the bracha. So anyway, I wish you all well, and Shavuot Tov, and Shavuot Chodesh Tov. And those of you that have come back to the center, welcome, and Be'ezras Hashem, we look forward to all of us being together in person relatively soon. So kol tov and be well.